but you are too.
Right.
But you're not. You know, so it's this constant like back and forth. And in terms of like class, that is very stark in the Philippines. And in that mm-hmm. poem, like just the amount of like sheepishness and shame of like even being there. Like right. what business do you even have to be like literally there? Mm-hmm. But then you're also like a witness too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and he's being this, the Boranga captain in that poem is talking to the speaker like, well, you're here, bear witness, don't let people pity us,
right?
You know, tell them about this place, but don't you dare pity us. And I think that's really Filipino, really. Yeah, it is complicated. And I mean, there's like all these, there's all this space to make mistakes in it, but it's,
yeah, it's a fine line. I think you do a good job though in your book.
Thanks, Jane. And, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
We're talking today to Michelle Peñaloza, the author of Former Possessions of the Spanish Empire. You've been listening to Between the Covers on KBOO Portland, and I'm your host, Jake Vermoss.
Coming up next, it's Words and Pictures. SW's Concert speaks with Gary and Ann Lundgren of Ashland, who have produced an independent feature entitled Phoenix, Oregon, a comedic look at midlife struggles in the rural Northwest.
Welcome to Words and Pictures, the show about the narrative arts. I'm your host, S.W. Concer, and today we're talking about independent film in Oregon. Molly Kruseman is in the studio. She is the co-producer of the film Phoenix, Oregon, which has been touring the country and will be screening here in Portland at the Hollywood Theater. Molly, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here with you.
We're also joined by Lisa Chikala. Lisa is the executive director for the Oregon Media Production Association. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you.
And we'll get a chance to talk to Lisa in just a few minutes about what's going on statewide. But first, Phoenix, Oregon. Molly, this is a feature-length comedy that was birthed and nurtured in Southern Oregon.
Exactly. So it was written, directed, and edited by Gary Lundgren. This is his fourth narrative feature. And the title, Phoenix, Oregon, is a little bit of a misnomer because we actually shot the entire film in Klamath Falls. And I can go into the story behind that. But it's a marvelous film. It's got a great cast, and I'm excited to share it with you.
I was just in Klamath Falls a couple of weeks ago, and driving through on my way along to Bend, and I have to ask you, what attracted? I know that Gary and Annie and you are all out of the Ashland area. What attracted you to Klamath Falls for this story?
So a big part of the reason was we needed a bowling alley, and Phoenix, Oregon doesn't have a bowling alley. And in Klamath Falls is Hanscom's Bowling, which I'm telling you rolled out the red carpet, just let us take over the place. And then also we needed a warehouse space, and there's not a lot of big empty warehouses. I think most of the Oregon Shakespeare Festival fills any warehouse space in our neck of the woods. So a really great guy there, you know, allowed us to use his warehouse because we had to build an Airstream, the interior, so we could do the interior shots and be able to pull the Airstream apart in half so we could get the cameras in to shoot those interior shots.
So people who, I know that a lot of people, I've gone through Klamath Falls also on the train, on the Amtrak, mm-hmm. the Coast Starlight. And for people who, that's been their only view from the train window, what is it about Klamath Falls? It's close to all of the centers of Southern Oregon, but it's really considered more of a rural place, more of, you know, an old school kind of logging town.
Sure, absolutely. And, you know, really most towns in Southern Oregon are that same sort of genre of folks, you know. And one of the beautiful things that Gary said about writing this film and calling it Phoenix, Oregon was to talk about what it's like, you know, in a small town where you're trying to figure out, you know, you're sort of midlife and your options are somewhat limited. And you want to figure out, okay, what can I do to really fulfill myself? What is going to, you know, make me happy here? Because you don't want to give up on that small town. There's so many wonderful things about these small towns in Oregon that you don't want to give those up. And that was part of the exploration for Gary, I think.
This sounds like a good intro to talk about the story. So you have a talented crew and actually an impressive cast for this comedy for Phoenix, Oregon. Mm-hmm. James LeGros.
Yeah.
So, the lead.
Yeah. So James came on early. He had worked with Gary and Annie Lundgren before. And so he came in. They were looking for somebody that was athletic for the bowling portion. And he came on. And what was really sort of neat was... and then Jesse Borrego came on, and I think that might have been influenced. The other producer on this film is Louis Rodriguez, and I think he might have influenced that a bit with Jesse coming on. And those two sort of reached out to the other actors, or when Gary would call an actor, they would call James and say, you know, what do you think? And James said, just get here and do this film. It's great. Gary's great. Their sets are always well maintained. And one of the beautiful
things... Did he want it, by the way, was James really interested in coming back to Oregon? I know that Drugstore Cowboy was a big breakout role, one of Gus Van Sant's early films.
Sure. And I can't answer that exactly, but I'm going to say yes, because who wouldn't want to come back to Oregon? The other person that was so great in this is Dietrich Bader, who lots of people know from the Drew Carey Show. Lisa Edelstein, who's just was Girlfriend's Guide to Divorce, and then the Schimansky Method with Michael Douglas and Alan Arkin. So she's a big deal. And then Kevin Corrigan, who plays Al, is just stunning. He's hysterical. But the film is really Bobby and Carlos. So Bobby is a James LeGros character, and Carlos is Jesse Borrego's character. And it's really the story of, as Gary puts it, some days he's Carlos and some days he's Bobby. So Bobby is sort of the Eeyore character, sort of nothing is going right. He can't get it right. He blames the aliens. You know, his life is being orchestrated. It's beyond his control. And Carlos is the optimistic, positive. He's got this beautiful family behind what he does. And it's sort of the yin and yang of when you're an artist and yet... As Gary says, when he was in his 20s, everything was Carlos. It was all sunshine and roses. And you get to midlife and you start to have those doubts creep in, like Bobby.
And you mentioned Bobby blaming the aliens. He ends up drawing his fears and concerns into a comic story.
That's right. That's right. And so that was that artwork was done by Vince Rush, who Gary found down in Southern Oregon, who's now moved up here to Portland. And it becomes the graphic novel becomes a narrative vehicle for Bobby's backstory. I think it's a really inventive way of being able to show the backstory, because part of what Bobby's trying to do is to complete this graphic novel. He just can't quite get there, and it's very indicative of Bobby.
Well, we have a little clip here. It's actually a trailer for Phoenix, Oregon, and we want to let listeners have a little taste of what they can expect if they come out to the screening that's going to be happening here in Portland. So here's a little trailer for you.
We're all living in a simulation, some alien race out there using our misery for entertainment.
How's the comic book going?
It's languishing unfinished.
You don't have time because you're working your ass off at Kyle's terrible restaurant.
359, Bob. Cutting it close.
You should be grateful that you have a job. Grateful.
Maybe I'll join you.
I feel like I'm 14 again. Drawing comics and needing a ride home.
Close your eyes for a minute. I want you to visualize what you'll be doing 10 years from now.
Are you serious?
I think you've lost your mind.
No, you're not visualizing it, Bobby. Come on, close your eyes.
I'm not closing my eyes anymore. I feel like an idiot.
You could roll. I remember.
It's a completely useless talent.
Rising Phoenix. Come for the pizzas.
Oh, my God.
Stay for the bowling.
You're listening to Words and Pictures. I'm S.W. Konser, and we're in the studio with Molly Kruseman. She's the co-producer of the film Phoenix, Oregon. And Lisa Chikala is here from the Oregon Media Production Association. Before we get to Lisa and to talk about what's going on elsewhere in the state, Molly, you've been on an epic tour with this film. I mean, just what? How many cities? Dozens of cities.
Dozens of cities. So actually, when we play at the Hollywood Sunday night at 7 o'clock, that will be our 60th city. Now, I have to confess, I haven't been on the entire tour, but what Annie, who is the producer and also the wife of Gary, she's the one that keeps everything organized so he can be creative. They decided to get a 24-foot RV, and rather than doing the typical thing of going to just film festivals, we decided as a group to hit the road, book our own theaters, and sort of, as I like to say, Jack Kerouac around the country.
Wow, so you're far-walling it everywhere, doing your own publicity?
So I was doing most of the publicity. Boy, what I have learned in 3.5 months, I can't even tell you. Our executive producers, Kim Piper and her husband, Ben, Kim did most of the theater booking, which, I mean, we've all learned a ton. And I have to tell you that across this country, independent theaters are extraordinary places run by really passionate people, not unlike independent radio stations. And we have found a beautiful audience out there through these independent theaters. I can't say enough and how important it is to support independent film, independent theater, and which kind of takes us to our friend Lisa over here with OMPA. But it's been beautiful. So we did 22 cities in Oregon, then we turned the RV south and went down through California, across the Southwest, Albuquerque, Santa Fe, San Antonio, Texas, over to Hot Springs, Arkansas, New Orleans, up through New York, Boston, up to Portland, Maine. And so that's the reason I'm actually here today and not Gary and Annie, because they are showing the film one last time before they head down here for our final showing on Sunday.
Wow. Wow. Well, on that note, I do want to ask Lisa Chikala from the OMPA about the outreach, the statewide outreach that is going on. By the way, I also want to point out, OMPA, not to be confused with Oregon Film, you know, equally important organizations here in the state. But yes, you have a growing presence in Central and Southern Oregon, and you're going to be doing some events for people who are cast and crew and production folks down there in the Ashland area where Molly comes from.
Yeah, so OMPA is a membership organization. So one of the things that we work to do is connect the community so people know who's working, who's available to work with, are inspired with each other, can collaborate with one another. And being the Oregon Media Production Association, we're based in Portland, but we do get around the state. So we're looking forward to heading down to the Klamath Film Festival next month, September 13th. And actually, I think Phoenix, Oregon will be screening there. Is that right?
That's right.
Yes. So I look forward to seeing the film again. It is beautiful. It's really sweet. And yeah, it's really well done. So we'll be down there. We'll be back in Ashland actually again in November. And let's see, where else? We're going to get to Bend, you know, around the Bend Film Festival. We find that even though our membership is larger than filmmakers, you know, we have commercial producers, folks that are working on brand and video, documentary, that people travel to town for the film festival. So it's a really great opportunity to bring the whole production community together, all of the professionals, to meet folks around the state, because we shoot around the state.
Right. I mean, I think Portland's been getting so much of the notice. The films, the web series, the cable series here that have been happening a lot, you know, Portlandia, the librarians, all of that good stuff. But yeah, there's more of a decentralization going on all the time. And do you think it has something to do with the equipment being more portable these days? Do you think it has to do with it's not as hard to set up a little studio, an audio studio, a post-production studio? Is it just that, you know, a lot of talent wants to live in scenic places?
Yeah, I think a lot of talent wants to live in scenic places, so that's where they live and that's where they work. And obviously there are a lot of great places to live in Oregon. I've definitely been hearing about more and more folks moving out to Central Oregon and building out their community out there. And of course, there's the locations. The locations are a huge draw. That's what gets people around the state, the incredible variety of locations that we have.
I know that the OMPA has done a lot of advocacy. You guys go down to Salem quite often, to the Capitol, to advocate. And there have been some really creative activity, you know, where folks from Grimm have brought special effects equipment down to the Capitol and showed them off for the legislatures. But, you know, we here in Oregon don't have the best tax breaks in the country. I mean, we're outspent by many, many other states, and yet we're a huge draw. And that obviously there's other reasons why productions want to shoot in Oregon.
We have an incredible talent base here, and I hear it again and again from folks who come in from out of town. They're really impressed with the professionalism of our crews, and they're top-notch, and not only do they know what they're doing, but they're pleasant to work with. So once people discover that Oregon has everything they need from the locations and the incentive program and the talent, they keep coming back because it's such a great experience.
Molly, Southern Oregon has kind of become a favorite location for retired Hollywood legends. Bruce Campbell of Evil Dead and Bubba Hotep fame has a spread down there. So does the great Kim Novak. She takes care of animals down there. How does that sort of boost your reputation?
Well, you know, I think we also have to factor in both the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, and it's really exciting because Southern Oregon University has just approved a digital media major. So that's really going to take us a long way. We're really creating a base of talented people down in Southern Oregon. And, you know, to Lisa's point, I mean, she's absolutely right. It's Oregon is such a creative place, and it's also still a place where you feel like you've got room to try things, both physically, mentally, spiritually, you know? So it's a very creative place, and certainly I think that extends to Hollywood folks who are looking to sort of get out of that rat race, but still want to be in a creative community. So, you know, Ashland serves that very well, Medford, the whole Southern Oregon region. It's a beautiful area, and it's really coming into its own, as it were.
I know that in Portland, there's still a little bit of feast and famine in the industry. You know, a lot of production ramps up during the sunny weather. And I'm sure that's even more the case in Ashland and in the Southern Oregon area at large. You must have a lot of production people with a side hustle.
Well, you know, I think that's true in any of the arts. I unfortunately, I hate to say it, but if you're an artist, you're probably pretty used to having a side hustle. However, I will say that, you know, our weather down in Ashland and in Southern Oregon, I mean, we don't have a lot of rainy days. It's pretty spectacular, if I'm going to brag just a little bit, and I will if you let me. But it's, you know, again, I think one of the things that's also beautiful for people that want to film, as Lisa pointed out, is the variety in our geography. I mean, from the ocean to the desert to the practical rainforest. I mean, you really have it all here. And now, you know, with OMPA having this central place where people can come and find cast and crew, I think that is incredibly helpful to people coming from outside.
Well, another thing, Lisa, I can ask about, does the urban growth boundary help somewhat? You know, we are the only state in the country that has an urban growth boundary. So you have the city stopping at a border, and then all of a sudden you have this scenery that's not littered with exurbs and sprawl and things like that. You can suddenly have a nice scenic place to film.
I mean, absolutely. The fact that it's easy to get here by a flight and then travel within short distances and see so much variety of everything from the city to the gorge is definitely a draw for us.
I'm SW Concert. You're listening to Words and Pictures. We're in the studio with Molly Kruseman co-producer of the film Phoenix, Oregon, and Lisa Chikala of the Oregon Media Production Association. Molly, I want you to brag a little bit more on yourself. You are a director as well. You're the co-producer, as I said, of Phoenix, Oregon, along with the Lundgrens, the filmmaking couple. You are a director yourself, and you wear many hats. We were talking about side hustles. You have all sorts of things that you're involved in.
I do, actually. Well, and I will tell you, the way that I met Gary and Annie was actually through the Ashland Film Festival. I started making a documentary, and I will be completely honest that I had no idea what I was getting myself into. We filmed for a year, and I had over 160 hours of footage, and then I was sitting in my living room thinking, okay, now what do I do?
And the subject of this documentary was something very dear to your heart.
It was. So it's the subject, the film is called Earth Seasoned, and it's about five young women who spend a year living primitively in the Oregon Cascade Mountains. And it's one of our culminating classes in my my husband has a wilderness camp called Coyote Trails School of Nature, and so this is one of our culminating programs. But so I had all this footage, and I really didn't have any idea what to do. And Joanne Feinberg, who was then the head of AIFF, introduced me to Gary, and I will tell you, I was so impressed that this man who had never done this kind of thing that these young women were doing could look at this footage and pull together a story. I mean, I am fascinated by Gary's brain.
Well, one of the hats he wears is an editor, and he is a really well-respected film editor.
Yes, and he's, I mean, it's...
And documentary editing is especially tricky.
Yes, he is extraordinary. He really is. And again, let me also give a lot of credit to his wife, Annie, who is, you know, his producer. And she knows the nuts and bolts of how to make things move forward. I learned so much from these two. So when they made this film, I had been working on other things, but I was privy to a rough cut. And I watch this rough cut, and I have an office across the hallway from Gary, and I just ran into his office and just sort of overwhelmingly said, whatever you want me to do to help you get this film into the world, I'm in. Just put me to work. And little did I know 5 months ago, it's just been this incredible experience. I think the other thing a lot of people who've worked with Gary and Annie will attest to is they are just good, honest people, and you don't always find that, especially, you know, on larger productions, but these are genuinely good, honest people, and they are willing to help filmmakers at any point in their career. So it's truly a pleasure to work with them.
And there's going to be an opportunity for our listeners to meet Gary and Annie and ask them questions, get answers. Tell us more about that.
That's right. So Sunday night, 7 o'clock at the Hollywood, we'll be showing Phoenix, Oregon. And afterwards, there will be a live Q&A with Gary and Annie and the other producer, who is Louis Rodriguez. And Gary and Louis have worked together quite a bit as well. And so I've been having fun when I do stops with them, trying to get the audience to stump Gary. To come up with questions that will stump Gary. So far, I gotta say, the man knows his things, because nobody has stumped him yet. But I have learned a lot about the film from audience questions. They, you know, different audiences pick up these little things that I haven't noticed, and it's really sort of enriched my whole experience of the film. So
I wanna ask Lisa, you've just heard Molly's story about being a passionate, neophyte documentarian. Just, she's got a story she wants to tell, doesn't have that much traction, doesn't have that many connections in the film world. How many stories do you get like this, and how frequently are you able to really help people out like that, put them in touch with experts in the industry, like people who appreciate that sort of passion?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many resources in our community that, you know, it's really just a matter of tapping into them. I met with the executive director of Northwest Documentary this morning, for instance, so a lot of people start there or at some of the other educational institutions like across Oregon, like Molly was mentioning with SOU. So, you know, really, if you're just getting started, there are certainly programs in place to help you get your footing. And then it's really connecting to the community. And that's something that OMPA does a lot, you know, several events a month, usually bringing professionals together to meet, share what they're working on, find out who can help them get it done. And it's a really collaborative, supportive community that we have here. So, you know, it's really just a matter of finding the right person and building that team, and they'll help you get where you want to go.
Yeah. And I'm gonna give a shout out to Lisa here. I think you've been with OMPA for 2 years now.
Going on two, yeah.
As the head. She's delightful to work with. I had not worked with OMPA before she came on, and she's just wonderful. And I think she's the kind of person that if you are a filmmaker and you're stuck, you know, I'm not advocating everybody jump on the phone right now, but I will say that if you need help, she is your connection point in Oregon, along with Oregon Film.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And the OMPA, and this is a refreshing to a lot of people who spend their time in their home office, they're making connections online, they're doing the virtual thing. You know, what the kids call meet space, the place where people actually physically get together, shake hands, have a conversation, have a drink. This is something that is very much alive in the production community.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, the events that we put on take a lot of work, and we ask, you know, is this where we want to put our energy? Because we are a small two-person staff, but we keep coming back to those face-to-face interactions are incredibly valuable for folks. For those who don't come out to the events, we, like, have our weekly communications that we send out that really anyone that's listening can sign up for, mm-hmm. our weekly newsletter, OMPA.org. So there are various ways to tap into what's going on. But, yeah, that face-to-face interaction is critical.
And for folks who are either just starting out or they're coming to the state or they're, you know, veterans, but they just want to connect and maybe support other people in the community, how do listeners find out more about the OMPA?
Oh, gosh. I would say that newsletter is probably a really great place to start. We mm-hmm. send it out every single week, and it's chock full of information from screenings that are going on to workshops, grants, news about what people are doing, reels, so you can see what people are working on, so the events that are coming up. So that's a really great place to start tapping into the community. And like Molly said, reach out anytime.
And how can people in other parts of the state, so Central Oregon around Bend, Southern Oregon around Ashland, what are some good resources for people to connect up with other creatives?
Yeah, I'm excited, actually. Our very next event is next Wednesday down in Bend, and we're doing it with Bend Film at their theater called The Tin Pan. So it's next Wednesday, the 28th, and a few folks coming in from out of town for that as well. And we're going to be screening local work because the goal is to bring people together, see what other folks are working on so that they can collaborate and help build that community. So Bend Film and the Central Oregon Film Office are available in that area. And then Molly, you could probably speak to Southern Oregon.
You know, I think one of the greatest ways to find out what's happening is just to contact your local film festival. So there's, you know, the Klamath Film Festival, there's the Ashland Film Festival, there's, I mean, there are dozens of film festivals in Oregon. There's even genre film festivals. So, you know, you can really tap into that as well to start getting connected. But I also think the OMPA.org is a great way to find out and then sign up for the newsletter. And, you know, and also find out, again, like Lisa said, what local universities or schools are, you know, have a digital program, have some kind of a media program is another way to get involved. So there's a lot of avenues. This is a really creative place. There's some amazing talent in Oregon. And, yeah, it's nice to have this sort of central clearinghouse between Oregon Film and OMPA. Those are great ways to find out about what's happening.
Well, Molly Kruseman, what's next for you personally after this big, exhausting tour?
Well, I'm going to take about 48 minutes off, and then starting in October, I will be the new volunteer coordinator for the Ashland Independent Film Festival, which I'm really looking forward to. I love working with volunteers, and supporting AIFF is a dream. I never saw myself there, and now I am, and I'm so excited. It's such a wonderful festival. So I'll be doing that. I just helped program the Klamath Film Festival, and that was marvelous to see all the talent from around the state. Klamath shows just Oregon-made films. I highly recommend it. So that's what I'll be up to as far as I know.
Meanwhile, you're still in town this Sunday, Hollywood Theater.
7 o'clock.
Well, thank you very much, Molly Kruseman and Lisa Ciccala, for joining us in the studio today.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Words and Pictures. I'm SW Concer. Thanks to all our listeners today on the radio dial and at KBOO.FM. And thanks to the Oregon Media Production Association for their support and collaboration. The audio for this show will be available later today on our archive page, KBOO.FM/Words and Pictures. And you can keep up with us on Twitter at Words and Picture.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is also available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Board meetings will be conducted at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The KBOO Board of Directors meets the fourth Monday of the month, starting at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Stephen Marley Babylon by Bus Tour on Friday, August 30th at 8 p.m. at the Roseland Theater in Portland. The second son of Bob and Rita Marley, eight-time Grammy-winning musician and producer Stephen Marley, will perform in Portland with DJ Sasha Pena, who will be opening the show. Again, that's Stephen Marley Babylon by Bus Tour on Friday, August 30th at 8 p.m. at the Roseland Theater, 8 Northwest 6th Avenue in Portland. This is a 21 and over event. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.